2 Corinthians 3, we're going to start with verse 12. I will read the first verse, you will read the next verse, and we'll go back and forth. Hear the word of the Lord. Verse 12, since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. Verse 13. But the people's mind were hardened to this day. Whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their mind so they cannot understand the truth. And the veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Oh, that's good, isn't it? We could preach right there, right? Anybody? Verse 18. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. Let's pray. And I ask today, Lord, that the words of my mouth, meditations of our hearts, would be pleasing in Your sight. And as the prophet Samuel prayed long ago, we pray at this moment, speak, Lord, for Your servants are listening. And all God's people said, amen. You can have a seat. Well, let me emphasize what Samer said. If you have not been baptized in 2 weeks, we really want you to, on your way out, we have incredible baptism celebration here. If Jesus has done something in your life and you haven't been baptized and you would like to be baptized, I'd love to meet with you. Please see us at the information table. Secondly, on October 16th, on that Monday, we have an incredibly important class. You can love Jesus all you want, but if you do not have your money in order and you do not know how to, and you struggle with this thing called money, I'm here to tell you that you will struggle in your walk with God. So we want to give you tools in your toolbox, a class called Faith and Finance. That's going to start Monday night, October 16th at 6:30 or 5:30. What did they say? 6:30, right? Is that right? 6:30? And we are going to have a meal provided and childcare provided. So I'd like for you to sign up in the back for that. That'll be a really, really important class. We as Mosaic are committed to help you to serve God in all areas of your life. And lastly, this Saturday morning, men, I have a question for you. How many men in this room like to eat? The rest of you lie. How many men in this room like to eat? Raise your hand. Second question, how many like to eat free food? So I expect all of you here this Saturday at 9 a.m. Where are we going to meet this Saturday?
Here.
Where at? Right here. We're going to have some fellowship at 9 a.m. Mr. Chris Frank, wave your hand, Chris, if you have any question. See Chris here as it relates to our men's breakfast this Saturday, 9 a.m. Awesome? Well, let's jump into the Word this morning. If you have been here, we started a series on the Holy Spirit. And we're continuing on today. Now, when I say Holy Spirit, what I realize immediately is that we all have this history and church that has taught us different things when we say Holy Spirit. Our antennas go up and we all of a sudden have our preconceived idea of what Holy Spirit is all about. It's my desire that you and I have a clear biblical understanding of what Holy Spirit, when we say that, really, really means. Because here's what I know to be true. Is that I can set up here week in and week out, and I can motivate you to love God. I can tell you to go for God. But if I do not teach about this subject, the Holy Spirit, what you're going to find out is that it will be basically impossible Monday through Saturday to live your life. If you are struggling even today, and you're kind of like, I love God, but Monday through Saturday, it's just a struggle. I'm up, I'm down, I'm all over the place. I'm here to tell you today, there is good news, and that good news is that you don't have to live that way. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And it's incredibly important that we begin to access His presence in our lives. For a lot of us in this room, we've got the intellect. We know, we say the Holy Spirit is with us. We get all of that. But it's miles from here to my heart. My prayer is that you really understand this. When we say Holy Spirit, some will think that is only equated with speaking in tongues. Others will say that it is saying hallelujah and singing a song. I'm here to tell you that the Holy Spirit is more than those things. It's more than just signs and wonders, more than just power. Although all those things are included, they are not the only thing that we connect the Holy Spirit with. Can I get an amen? So last week we started looking at the Holy Spirit, teaching on his different roles in our lives. And the different roles we have in our lives, the first thing we said last week is that he continues to reveal in our lives. All of us are blinded, and he continues to initiate, to enable us to see in ways that we cannot see. I don't know about you, but as the Holy Spirit works in my life, sometimes before I allowed him to work in my life, I could get away with things. Anybody been there? And when I invite the Holy Spirit in my life and he begins to reveal, he reveals this thing about my life, and I say, I'm good. And all of a sudden I think I'm good, and the next thing I know, he's revealing something else about me. Anybody been there? He does that because he loves us. The role of the Holy Spirit is a revealer. The second thing is that he's a redeemer. He gave Jesus, we looked at Jesus' life and how the Holy Spirit filled Jesus on moment by moment situation, and he wants to do the same thing for you and me. We also looked at his role as indwelling in us. And it's not so much this mystery of God physically dwelling in our body, but indwelling has this in connotation that we are intimate with him and he is the Emmanuel God with us in every moment of our lives. So that's what we looked at last week, and today we're going to continue on this role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So please listen up. I think you're going to find it as what I would call an aha moment. I've prayed this morning early on that his Spirit would work in such a way that you would have an ability to see and allow him to work in your life in ways that he's never done before. I believe that with everything I've got. And if I didn't believe that, I'm just up here speaking really, really fast with a lot of excitement for no reason whatsoever. But if what I'm saying is actually true, it will actually transform your life and my life. Can I get an amen? Amen. So let's continue on. We see in this passage that I just read to you, Paul does an incredibly good job of describing to us in an implied way of the role of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament in comparison to the role of the new Holy Spirit in the New Testament. And he uses the prophet Moses as an example. And so here you have Moses. He would go up on Mount Sinai and he would meet, and the Spirit of God is there. And what the Old Testament declares, the Shekinah glory of God fell on him. The Shekinah glory of God fell on him in such a way that he had a literal glow about him. Isn't that pretty cool? He had a glow of God about him, and then when he would leave the presence of God and go and be with Israel, he put a veil over his face for a couple of reasons. Number one is because that glory would fade, and number two is because he didn't want them to see what all God had done in that moment. Now, what we know about the Old Testament is this. The Holy Spirit was evident, but he was evident in a different way. His presence in the Old Testament was for situations in which his power was needed, and he would come in and he would empower men and women what they needed in a moment, and then in that moment then would leave. But they didn't have the indwelling that I talked about last week. And yet he's saying to us, now we have Jesus, and now we have the veil taken off, and we have this Shekinah glory 24/7 for our lives. Now, let me give you a little theology here. The cross right here, when Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. It was in that moment. You ready? Catch this. This is really good. In that moment when he said, it is finished, there was this incredible curtain in the temple that separated us from what they called the Holy of Holies. That's where God dwelt. And only one individual, one time a year, would go in the Day of Atonement, and he would sacrifice for all of Israel. And that person represented you and me. And that was the only time the power of God would be demonstrated in that way. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, guess what? The veil is torn. All of y'all are now have access to this Holy of Holies in that moment, 24/7, whenever you want, you have access to me. Now access it. That's what he's saying to us. And that's what he's telling us here, 24/7. And we are changed into his image over and over and over again. And you need to realize that the Holy Spirit is not your genie that you can rub a little lantern and say, this is my wishes and this is what I want. Who are you and I to tell God what he needs to do? We obey him and we submit underneath him. We need to understand that with everything that we've got, and we can't just do that. And I am convinced today that the church, not speaking of Mosaic, but the church as a whole, we become impotent and we don't have the power of God the way that we need. If I were to be honest with you, I believe we are scared of the power of God. We want to kind of have it all nice and then we've got our program down to a second. And we don't want to, if the Holy Spirit showed up and did what he would do, we wouldn't know what to do with it. God have mercy on us. Because I think that God isn't confined to a cookie cutter. I can go to all, so many white evangelical churches and they're cookie cutter. I know exactly, say, on sabbatical, why don't you go visit this church and this church? There's some uniquenesses in those churches, but when I look at the worship services, they're all pretty much the same. And I'm like, does God work that way across a vast country with so many differences? And I think we have kind of missed the rope as it relates to seeing the Holy Spirit move and stepping back and saying, have your way. Can I get an amen? And not only in the church, but in our own lives. We're going to talk about this next week in the third part of the Holy Spirit. But you see, we've been talking about advocacy, and we've been talking about standing up for the injustices, and we need to do all of that. But if we don't add into the equation that we need a revival of the Holy Spirit visiting and awakening our churches, number one, and then beyond that, we are fighting a futile battle. Did you hear what I said? We can do all of that if we do not ask for the blessing and the power. I don't know about you, but I read in our own country about the first great awakening. You read about it. And the second great awakening where the Holy Spirit fell down in a powerful way. And the Wesley boys back in England, and they changed the way England was actually did business as a result of God's Holy Spirit falling on that. I don't want to read about that. I want to experience that. Anybody with me? I want to see God. I'm hungry for that kind of movement of God. And I want to step back and say, Lord, don't allow me to get in the way of way you want to work. I just say, do your thing and do it today. I want to be a part of it. I don't know about you, but since I was yay high, I always wanted to be in the middle of the action. Anybody else? I don't want to be in the sidelines. I want to be right there, like, let's do this thing. Anybody else? And as it relates to God, it's the exact same thing. I don't want to stand in the grandstands and cheer somebody on. I want to be in the game. Anybody else? I don't want to be disqualified. I want to experience what God has for all of us. And so next week, we're going to talk about this thing called revival and what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do amongst our own lives, but in the life of our country and our world. If you have your notes, you're welcome to pull them out. Let me give you three more roles of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The first one is he transforms us. Would you repeat this prayer with me? Say, change me, Lord. Change me, Lord. Say it again. Change me, Lord. Change me, Lord. Verse 18 that we read there says, we are being changed into his likeness. And this comes from the Lord who is Spirit. Who is the Lord is Spirit. And we must note that as he says that, we are being changed into his image. All of us into his image. So to beg the question, can we stay neutral? And the answer to that question is you cannot stay neutral. You can't stay in neutral drive. You either are moving forward in your walk towards Jesus, or you are spiraling downward away from him. You are not, you can't. Somebody says, can I just stay neutral? No, it's like a sailboat. If you go out and you don't have a sail, you will still drift. You're going to drift one way or the other. It's a fallacy to think, okay, I just need to just kind of do a timeout with God. You do a timeout with God, and you're already starting to spiral away from God. You're either moving forward or you're moving back. The speed of that depends on you, but nonetheless, all of us are there, and lots of times we start asking the question, well, how do I know that I'm transformed? You ever ask that question? How do I know that somebody is really growing? Is that a good question? How do I know that? I've had some guys say to me, well, you can't really know whether somebody's growing spiritually. It's too abstract. How do you know whether somebody's really growing? And historically in the church, what have we done? We're going to measure transformation, our view of transformation, by what? The outward appearance, right? So if I read my Bible, and if I say I pray, and if I go to church and I say my prayers exactly the way everybody wants, and I look a certain way, and I give, and I even volunteer in the church, and if I do all these things, and I don't smoke, drink, and go to movies and dance, and all the rest, then I am good. Is that not how we have had a metric of spiritual transformation? Yes or no? And I'm here to tell you that the Bible tells us clearly what it is. The metric for transformation is Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. Do you have it? Amen. Love? Anybody want love? Yes. How about joy? Yes. A little bit of joy today? Yes. How about peace? Anybody looking for peace? Yes. Okay, here's a big one. Roberta, patience. Yes. She's laughing at me. Love, joy, peace, patience. How about kindness? Yes. How about goodness? Yes. Gentleness? Yes. Self-control? Yes. Guess what? That's for all of y'all. This is Christmas morning. You all can have that. It's for every single one of you. Get it. You get the fruit of the Spirit. The question is whether you and I are going there. Can we get stuck in the middle? We can't. We start to drift. Why do we drift? Good question. Why do we drift? Why do we start drifting? Couple thoughts. We drift because we're ignorant. We simply don't know how to do what we're doing. We don't know how to access the Holy Spirit. And we drift because life has this pull that will move us in directions we don't want to go. We drift not only because we're ignorant, we drift because we don't obey. Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do because you know it's right, even if you don't feel it. Can I get an amen? Amen. Sometimes you have to do what is right simply because it's right and you don't feel it. Number three, it's because we don't trust. We're not transformed because I know that I know, ready? In my private time, that if I give Jesus everything and I totally obey everything, he's going to go make me do something I do not want to do, and I'm not going there. You see those kids up there on that screen? He's going to go make Cecil live in the Republic of Czech. He's going, I'm not going there. So that's what you get for walking in late. You know, that's what you get there, bro. He and I had a deal that he wouldn't go to five locations today during service. We're getting there, right, bro? Awesome. All right. Ignorant, obedience, and trust. Where are you spiraling? Are you moving towards him or are you away? Let me say this. If you don't know, you're not moving towards him. If you don't know where you're headed, you're moving backwards. How do I know that I'm being transformed in the fruit? Let me give you some thoughts. What areas that I can actually have in my life? You ready? The first thing that I would say to you is your reputation. If you're moving away and you're not being transformed, it's all about you. But Philippians 2 says, I got to flip that upside down. And I actually, when I'm transformed, I actually start thinking of the needs of others greater than my own. In other words, I start getting more fulfillment when you win and I don't. I start getting more fulfillment when me behind the scenes can do this and I watch you succeed. That's when I'm being transformed, when it's not all about me. I become less and he becomes more. Transformation means it's not about my reputation. And if any of you do not think that reputation means something to you, you're really delusional. Because reputation means something to all of us. We worked our entire life for people to look upon us with a certain image. And when we're transformed, we throw that out. And here's what I want you to realize. You don't have to go to rock bottom to all of a sudden be freed from this thing called reputation. You can decide today that I am going to become less and he's going to become more in my life. Can I get an amen? Amen. Areas of transformation is I don't have to worry about my future. Anybody worrying or scared about their future? Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I've got this. Transformed person knows even though I can't see it, he's got it. When you get consumed with you, it becomes all about you and it steals your joy. Remember me telling you in the fear? My joy was being stolen in anticipation of what I expected to happen. But I got to be able to celebrate today knowing that he's got a hold of tomorrow. A transformed life with the Holy Spirit understands God's got the future. Can I get an amen? Amen. He's got your family and he's got your friends. Jesus said, anyone who does not, go back to the video, give up mother, brother, sister, and love me, number one, cannot be a follower of me. That sounds at first notice a really horrible thing, but here's what he knows. You and I do not have the ability to love our family and to love ourselves the way that we should. It's all selfish and manipulative. But once I love him, then I'll be able to love you all and my family the way I'm supposed to. So he has to be number one. A transformed life understands that. What about your possessions? Jesus said in Luke 12, to sell your possessions and give to those in need. What you realize quickly on when you're transformed is the air you breathe, the car you drive, the work you work at, the things you have, the talent you have, the skills you have, none of them are yours in the first place. They're all a gift of God, and once you and I realize that, it's going to make all the difference in the world. Once we realize our possessions, what about your talents and your abilities? God's the one that gave you those talents. God's the one who gave you those abilities. Why are you so quick to take the praise for something that's simply his? A transformed life understands that. What about your entire self? Romans 12 says, I offer up my body as a living sacrifice. I say it's no longer me, but I will renew my mind as I give him my life. I give him everything. A transformed life. Are you that? That's what he's saying. The fruit of the Spirit is yours. But here's what we know. How does that occur? I've got to be in this daily, my friends. Not legalism, but I've got to be in truth. Truth will destroy lies. And I've got to have this every single day. We talked about this last week. It is inspired by God. I don't like to, as I said last week, I don't like to watch movies twice. I don't like to watch, read books two times. But the Bible is inspired by God. I can read it over and over again, and it helps me today for something different than I read it a few days ago. It is always there, and it's living, and it's active, and it's for your life today. You want to be here, you got to be able to engage him to get here, because he wants a dependency on us. We need community. If we're going to be transformed, if you just come in and sit on a Sunday morning and you walk out here, you're missing the fullness of what community is. Because we'll have our highs and we'll have our lows, right? And in those moments, that's when we celebrate with those who are victorious. We come alongside those who are struggling, and we know as a community to be loved and to be known is a powerful thing. I hear people say all the time, I love God, but it's you all that I have a problem with. And I think that's a fallacy. If you truly love God, he's going to give you and I the ability to love each other. Amen. Even crazy people like us. Can I get an amen? Amen? Yeah. Folks, the key is that we need to understand that God will even use pain and suffering in our lives to transform us. Okay, here's my logic. You ready? There's not a person in this room that will not go through pain or suffering or has gone through it. Why waste it? I don't want to go through pain and suffering just for the sake of pain and suffering. Anybody with me? We are all equal. Jesus says that the evil rises on the, that rains on the good and the evil, and the sun shines on the good and evil. So we know that we live in an unfair world, right? But what the Bible does tell us when we're transformed is that God will redeem and work all these things for his good in our lives. So let's move towards that and allow him to use those things in our lives rather than allow them to be a dead end. Can I get an amen? What we know to be true is this. The Spirit is the one who molds us into the image of Jesus. When I was a young Christian, I didn't even know the Bible, and I read in 1 John 2:6, it said, if you call yourself a Christian, you need to live like Jesus. I didn't even know how Jesus lived. I started reading the Bible, and I realized I don't live like that, and I asked him to help me, and day by day, I've been on a journey 30-plus years since 1982, following him and trying to be more like him. I'm here to tell you, God does not show favoritism, and that's a lie that many of you think. What I just said to you today in the first point of transformation, you're saying that's good to the person on my right. That's good for the person on my left. That's good for the person in front of me, but you don't know my life, Mick. And I'm here to say to you, I may not know your life, but I know the God who created you, and you need to understand that he is, your sin is not too strong, not too powerful, that the cross is more powerful than anything that you have done, and he's saying, I want to free you today. Can I get an amen? So may God help us today as a church. I want you to walk out of this room today and know that you know that you know that he can transform you. He can transform your life. Would you repeat after me? Say, transform us, Lord.
Transform us, Lord.
One more time. Transform us, Lord.
Transform us, Lord.
If you mean that, he's willing to give you that through the fruit of the Spirit. I want that. Anybody else? I don't have to scream. I don't have to shout. All I do is call on the name of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will come and do what he needs to do. Amen? Let me give you the second point. Is not only does he transform us, he fills us. Would you repeat after this prayer with me? Say, control us, Lord.
Control us.
Say it again. Control us, Lord.
Control us, Lord.
Ephesians 5:18 says, listen up. Do not be drunk with wine. Do not be intoxicated with wine, with alcohol, with drugs, with greed, with jealousy, with fame, with power, with whatever you name it. Do not be intoxicated with that. You will be intoxicated with something. But he says, instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Did you hear me? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And here's what we know. Ephesians 1 is that the Spirit of God came into your life when you said yes to Jesus. But we got so many people who are not living to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So much confusion. And he's like, well, I came from the tradition where we say baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's the same concept. Baptism in the Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. Whatever term you want to use, what it means is simply this. Filled means I surrender. It means that he is now in control. And when I first did it, folks, I got down here, and I remember I got right down on the altar. I was just known Jesus for just a little bit. I was 16, and I remember the preacher, what he preached, and I said to myself, okay, I know I have Jesus, but I want more. And he's like, if you want more, you want a double portion. He was talking about Elijah and Elisha. My wife says I never say those two names right, but you get that story, right? And he says, do you want a double portion? I said, you know I do, Lord. And so I went at the altar and I knelt down and I said, Lord, whatever double portion is, fill me, fill me, fill me, and then flood me, but give me more and more of you. It so transformed my life. Did I ever struggle? Yes. Did I ever have doubt? You bet. But I'm here to tell you, it was always short-lived. I never went further than the Holy Spirit pulling me back, giving me what I need with the impossible. Now that I'm 30-plus years and following Jesus, I have more victories and defeats. That's not because I'm more special. That's not because God loves me more than you. It's not because I found a corner on God. It's simply because I practice what Ephesians 5:18 says. If you really believe this thing, why don't you just ask him to control you and bless you? Now, here's what I know, folks, is that I wish it was a one and done, don't you? I've gone and I knelt down on that altar and thinking, it's one and done, and now, hallelujah, holy, there I go. But what I found out, that was only the start of the race. The gun started, and then there afterwards, I had to ask the next day, and then the next day, and then the next day, and then the next day. And you know why he called me to do it the next day, and the next day, and the next day? Because he wanted a relationship with me. If it was a one and done, then all of a sudden I wouldn't need him in the moments of my stress and my struggles and whatever, and I could say I do this. But once I realize I can't do this, it makes me come back on my knees knowing I can't, but he can. Now here's the problem for many of us. A lot of us in this room, the vast majority of us would say, I know that I can't. Well, then let's take the next step. With you, it is impossible. With him, it is impossible. Let's move to the next step and actually say, he can, not intellectually, but experientially, and say, have my life, Lord Jesus. Does this make sense to anybody? I have no idea where I am in my notes, but that was really good. We use the word full all the time. We say we're full of whiskey, full of mischief, full of the devil, full of joy, full tank of gas, filled with fear. John 13 says Judas was full of the devil. When we say full, that means he is in complete, utter control of your life. And you can't say today and kneel at the altar and say, Lord, you have complete control of my life, and then go live your life like you just never changed anything. Viewing things in front of you that you don't need to view. Hanging around people, bad character corrupts good character. Being around things that will destroy you. Refusing to forgive those who messed you over. Okay, I love Jesus. I'm going to love him. I'm going to be filled with the Spirit, but I'm not going to forgive them. You don't have the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. Because he will force you to go to the point where you actually will have the ability to forgive. He won't let you off the hook if you're truly getting that. You see, what happens is that once he has full control, then we have full fruit. Full fruit. That love, joy, peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and gentleness. It's yours. It starts to happen in your life. He gives you the power. This is the result of being a full life. What would happen, church, if we started literally living with the fruit of the Spirit? The life of the Spirit, somebody says the evidence of the life of the Spirit is speaking in a tongue. I've been in lots of churches where people speak in a tongue and walk out in the parking lot and curse their wife. The life of the Spirit is somebody filled with the fruit of the Spirit. And you're able to forgive when you don't have the ability to forgive. And you have the ability to have peace in the midst of a storm. Your ability to have joy when you have nothing around you that says you should have joy. That's proof of the fullness of my life and the fruit of the Spirit. What would happen if the church actually started living this way? What happened with the 100-plus people here today, the 125, 50 people here today, if we actually started to receive this gift and actually saw his power to start doing in his life? And here's what I would ask you to do. You go to Galatians 5, 22 and 23. This is a homework. And you look at those fruit of the Spirit. List three of them that you know you're weak in and ask him to give it to you. Start right now and watch what he will do. If you're serious about that, he will do. And then he'll give you and I the power to say no. He'll give us the power to say yes to him. When he has full control and has filled us, we will have the fruit of the Spirit. Now let me give you the last point on this. Filling is that we'll be full of emotion. Now, what do I mean by that? I gotta be really careful. Some people, all they want is emotion. You know I've been talking about that. And if all you want is emotion, you actually can open yourself up to the spiritual side of things that are even demonic because you worship emotion more than you do Jesus Christ. I've seen that happen. But then you could be on the other spectrum where you're like, I'm not emotional and I can't be emotional and I'm this way and I don't want it to go anywhere. Both of those are not of God. And here's what I know to be true. When there is emotion, even though the emotion may not look like your emotion, and it may be, some people may be very dramatic, and that's what we want freedom at Mosaic. Can I get an amen? So if somebody's emotional, they can be emotional. If somebody's emotional and they're just having tears coming down their eyes, it doesn't matter how it's expressed. But I'm here to tell you is that there is some emotion that occurs when I'm filled with the Spirit. When it comes and when it goes, only He knows, but it will be a part of who we are. It's a part of who we are. We can't be afraid of that emotion. We're all created uniquely differently, and we need to be okay to embrace that difference. Does that make sense? What when we know when the Spirit of God comes down, and here's what I know to be true. If you've been in the church and the Spirit of God falls down and it's very emotional in that moment, I'm here to tell you is that everybody who really loves Jesus is going to know that's from God. They're going to know that's from God. It may not be their way of doing it, but they're going to know that's from God. And they're going to be able to affirm that, saying, I can affirm that. And if you're close to Jesus and filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to know when it's man-manipulated and when it's man-drawn out. And we need to be very careful about that. The way I look at it is this. We put up our sail. We say, come, Holy Spirit, we're ready. Whatever happens, happens, because He's in control. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We bring our sacrifice of praise. We bring our sacrifice of praise, and from there, we understand what it means to be filled with Him and allowing Him to make a difference in my life. Jesus did not leave us as orphans, my friends, but He sent His Holy Spirit to control and guide us step by step. It is a simple step that you need to do. Some of you, all you've been taught is, all I need to do is accept Jesus in my life, got my ticket to heaven, and I'm here to tell you, although that's really, really important, you have missed what He wanted to do in this life. He didn't say it wouldn't be easy, but He said in John 10:10, I have come that you would have life to its full. And we have screwed up what fullness means. Luke and Kyla on this screen, do you think it's easy? You think they're like getting up every day going, woohoo, this is really fun. Thank you, Jesus. When I served overseas in the Islamic world for 10 years, and I thought many times I wasn't going to make it, and all the stories that happened in between all of that, in those moments, as hard as it was, I was more alive than I've ever been. So fullness is not about me feeling happy-go-lucky, praise the Lord, let's have a cup of tea and sit back and enjoy each other. Fullness is knowing that you're doing exactly what God wants you to do and giving you exactly what you need in the moment that you need it. And as you do that, you get out of the boat and you really realize that I wasn't created for the boat. I was created to walk on the water, and I can never go back to the boat, right? And Reggie, what's really fun is when we're all on the water together partying and dancing with Jesus, a whole lot more fun than you watching me in the boat. You following me? And Curtis, you might be a little scared to get out of the boat thinking, well, you don't know about my past, but I'm here with you to grab your hand and say, let's get out of the boat. Let's walk on the water together. You following me? Sean, you may think that I can't, and the Holy Spirit's saying, I know you think that way, but I can, because greater is He who's in me than He's in the world. Can I get an amen? Amen. Kumar, you have gone and lived your life in a country called India. God has placed these miracles in your life, not for you just to have a good job. He wants your life to make a difference, loving Him, saying, let's get out of the boat and allow me to do what I'm going to do. You bring something to Mosaic that the rest of us can't bring, because God has uniquely created you. Joe, you told me that I felt the pain and the loss of my life, knowing that I've done so many bad things, but here's a new start. He says, you are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. I'm here to tell you today that you need to understand that you don't need me up here telling you this stuff to motivate you, but when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, He gives you exactly what you need the moment that you need it. The question is not whether He's communicating. The question is, are we listening? Be still and know that I am God. I am there in the midst of the storm of life. I'm there when I have doubts. I'm there when I see a giant. I'm there when I'm overwhelmed. All of those, I am there. Friends, it is time that the Church of Jesus Christ rises up and is actually filled in such a way, not in a kooky, far-out, spiritual, self-righteous way, but in a servant picking up your towel, going out among the least of these, loving people when they're unlovable, engaging people who will tell us to, and we will continue on doing what we need to do. I will tell you this. When you start talking really fast, you got to be really careful. I have to repent of a lot of things. I don't need to be doing it on the platform. Thank you very kindly. Whew. Let me give you one more point, is once we are fulfilled, the last point you notice is He enables us to be overcomers. Wow. Would you say with me, give us victory, Lord.
Give us victory, Lord.
One more time. Give us victory, Lord. Is there anybody here just kind of wants to walk around? I mean, when legalism starts to rule the day, and you got to do all of this, how dare you smile? You'll be sinning. How attractive are we going to be to the world? Bunch of people sitting there like this. Uh-oh, they moved. My friends, our problem has been that we have not taken the gospel and made it applicable, and that's the goal of Mosaic, that this thing, this gospel is applicable for every area of your life. And he wants to allow us not just to exist. What is Romans 8? Conqueror. Amen. I love that. I don't know about you, but I want to be a conqueror. Anybody else? Amen. I want that truth to be mine today, but I can't buy that at Walmart. I can't do that by myself. It only comes through his ability to do that. Some believe to be an overcomer, it all depends on God. And if it all depends on God, then I become complacent. Some believe it all depends on me. As soon as you believe it depends on you, you're going to wear out in a matter of 2 weeks. The Bible teaches us, my friends, we rest in him and he does the work. We lean into Jesus. The picture in my head over and over again is every time I'm stressed, every time I'm wore out, every time I feel like I have nothing to give, every time I have challenges, just lean in. And sometimes I don't eat as much words as I like to talk. I mean, I've said this before, but my wife and I, we have opposite roles. I vomit words all over her and she runs into her woman cave. It is the most fun relationship you've ever seen in the world. But even when my words are finished and I have no more, sometimes all I do is lean in to Jesus. And sometimes all I say is help. Anybody been there? Some of you are there right now. And I'm here to tell you, he is there. He's there. Anything you're going through, it all has a time limit. Pain and suffering has a time limit. And there's an end to it. Know that he is saying, let's be, and what an incredible thing we can be to the lost of the world. You walk into these doors, and we go out of these doors, and they see us. And when what they saw with Moses in this passage, they see in us and go, what is that about you? We know what it is. It's the Holy Spirit shining through us, right? We don't have to say to them, well, it's Jesus. You can love them under the least of these. How many of you would know on the streets of Detroit, the number one need we have is people truly want to be heard and seen? Is that not true? See me. See me. My biggest challenge is I want to fix everybody. And I found out pretty quickly in my life, I can't fix them. The biggest thing I can do, be quick to listen, slow to speak. So hard for me, anybody else? Oh, God. I always think what I've got to say is the best thing in the world. And God gives me my wife. She's one layer lower, the Holy Spirit, but she's good. Be able to listen and hear people. Can we do that, church? You know what? You don't need a college degree for that. You don't need to have X amount of dollars in your bank account. You don't need to have the Bible memorized. A 5-year-old can do that, can they not? Simply just loving people and knowing that our lives matter. If we started doing that, we can change the world. How are we going to be overcomers? We got to surrender, like I said. We got to identify the enemy. He's like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, do we not? We have to identify our own flesh. It will drag us away. God does not tempt us, James 1. But our own flesh will drag us away and tempt us. We need to run as fast as our legs will carry us, right? If we're going to be overcomers, we need to stay away from people that are going to bring us down. You want to dance over here with them folks on a Tuesday and a Wednesday, I'm here to tell you, you won't stand on a Thursday. I have surrounded myself my entire life with people that will spur me on. Doesn't mean I don't engage lost people, but as it relates to spirit, I went around people that are going to spur me on and say, you can change the world. We're going to do this. It's not what the world looks like now. It's what the world can be. It's not what Mosaic is. It's what Mosaic can be. It's not who you are now. It's what you can be in a little bit. Amen. When I look at everybody and look at myself here, you know what I do? I don't see where you are now. I see what God wants to do in your life later. Daryl, I see what he's going to do in your life. Isn't that good? Lamont, I don't see where you are now. I see where he's taking you. Does that make sense? And when we say we'll see that, that's going to make all the difference in the world. When we are able to understand that we hang around people that are going to encourage us on and stay away from circumstances and things that are going to tear us down. For some of us, that means we got to do dramatic things in our lives. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's where you live. Maybe it's the people that you hang out with. be so serious in your walk with God that you will do whatever it takes to be able to be a true follower of him and to be a victorious. Don't put yourself in situations and then say all of a sudden, okay, now God, do your thing. And you've been the whole time, he's like, I want you to do your thing. Now get out. And then you blame God when you mess up. Right? Ask yourself the question, where is your temptation coming from? From who or what? What are the camouflages that the enemy's using in your life? May the Spirit reveal those to you. What are the root causes of your temptation? Are they lust? Do you covet what somebody else has? Is it unbelief? I think that's a really powerful one. Let me stop right there before we close. I'm convinced in this room today, there are many people that simply do, they affirm what I say, but you do not truly believe that you can have what I say. May God help us. There's a lie from the pit of hell. God does not show favoritism. He loves us all the same. Isn't that great? At the foot of the cross, we're all equal. Right? Isn't that beautiful? What you guys are doing right now in this church is you're saying that Revelation 7:9 to every tribe, language, and people group does not have to be in heaven, that the cross is powerful enough to be in America, in Detroit, right here and right now. Is that awesome? That we are about a kingdom that's more important than anything else. The key point is that you were created to be an overcomer, and God's given you the tools for it. And we need to use them. I don't know about you, but I'm asking for the fruit of the Spirit. And you know what? The people that I get to know more and more, as I get closer to you, I get to see your flaws just like I let you see my flaws. And you know how your respect goes up for me? As I watch you actually grow in the areas that you're weak at. You allow yourself to go to the areas, because lots of people, when they're really talented, they only go into their strengths. And they only lean into them. But God wants all areas of your life. He wants to mold and shape every character of your life. And you can overcompensate for your strengths, and nobody would ever know that this area of my life God wants. And when I see brothers and sisters allowing the Holy Spirit to take every area of their life, whether it's patience or whether it's anger or whether it's gossip or whether you name it, and they're allowing God to work in their life, I'm like, my respect just goes like crazy for them. Because isn't that proof that what God's up to? See, he's saying to us today, the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us. He truly wants to fill us, and he truly wants us to be victorious. The question is, do you want it? Are you like me that many years ago in the fall of 1982? I didn't even know the Bible that well. All I knew is I had Jesus. And all I knew is that 2 days before that, Pastor, 2 days before that, I was so drunk I didn't even know what I was doing. I was 16 years old, and I had a dramatic experience. Dramatic. And it so changed my life. I was the guy with one talent. I wasn't the two or the five. All I said is, whatever I have, you can have. And the rest of my life, I can't do anything with this, I know that. Can't fix the blooming thing. But whatever I have, I want to spend the rest of my life to let people know what he's done for me, he can do for them. However that looks. However that looks. Anybody else? And then when I stand before the Father, wherever that may be, all I want to say is, I did my best. It wasn't perfect, but I did my best. Anybody else? Amen. So let's get off of ourselves and let's get on Jesus and let the Holy Spirit do his work. Can I get an amen? Amen. I want you to bow your heads with me. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up here. Lord Jesus, if I have said something that's not of you, I pray those words would go away. But if I have said something that's of you, I pray you'd not allow us to get away from it. I ask that you would speak because your servants have been listening. And I pray that today you would enable us truly to be your men and women today as it relates to the filling of your Holy Spirit in our lives, and that we truly can move forward with what you want to do in our lives. And I pray today that you would powerfully work in each and every life. Thank you, Jesus. Do not check out on me. I believe right now, right here, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to some brothers and sisters. And you have lived so far below what God's wanted in your life. And you've wondered why you struggle day in and day out. And now today, the aha moment has happened, and you know it's because you have not been accessing the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And just like I did that many years ago, the Holy Spirit's coming to you, and you're saying, I want more of you. Whatever that looks like, whatever that will be. And you want some of that. And it's for you today. Would you please stand with me? Go ahead and stand. as Michaela plays the keyboard, simple request. Who is God speaking to? And you need to come forward right now, and you want to kneel and say, I want more of the Holy Spirit right now. Without any emotional appeal, right now, regardless where you are, whatever's happening, you just say, I need more right now. I understand why I struggle. And the Spirit of God's been speaking to me. You could be a Christian 50 years. You could be a Christian for one day. It doesn't matter. But I need more of the Holy Spirit today, and I'm hungry for more of Him in my life. I'm waiting. Anyone else? I'm asking those that would come behind these people, let nobody be alone, to come and pray. I need lots of prayers. The altars are filled. Go ahead, those of you kneeling. If you need to be doing it at your seat, sit. If you need to stand, stand. But if God's speaking to you and you didn't feel comfortable coming and you need to pray where you are, go ahead. But those of you who are kneeling here, go ahead, start calling out to Him. Start calling out in Jesus' name through the power of the Holy Spirit that He would fill you and He would make you to become an overcomer right now. Tell Him you've had enough of being in control. You give over to control. Tell Him you don't want to be intoxicated with anything else, with pride and arrogance and with ambition and power, but you want to be totally humble before Him. Go ahead, cry out to Him in Jesus' name. Go ahead, cry out to Him. In Jesus' name, hear our cry, oh God. Holy Spirit, have your way in each of our lives. Lord, we cry out to you right now, and we say to you, we are in desperate need. If we were looking at it through natural eyes, it doesn't look good for us. It doesn't look good for us as families. It doesn't look good for us as a church. It doesn't look good for us as a city. It doesn't look good for us as a country, and it doesn't look good for us in the world. But we don't look through those eyes. We look through your eyes today and know that you are able, and we pray in Jesus' name, through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would help us to see in ways that we've never seen before, experience the way we've never experienced before. We not only want an experience, we want truly for you to seal the deal in our hearts and our lives, that we know that you are greater than every situation, that nothing can separate us from your love, and that you are able to do more than we could ever dream or imagine. And as we come near to you, you will come near to us, and that you would enable us to call to you, and you would show us great and unsearchable things we never dreamt of before. But Holy Spirit, have your way. Cleanse us. Cleanse us. Would you repeat after me? Say, cleanse us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Come to us, Lord. Fill us, Holy Spirit. Fill us, Holy Spirit. We surrender. We give you our lives. We give you our hearts. We give you our minds. We give you our tongue. We give you our ears. We give you our lives. Help us. Help us with our unbelief. Help us to believe. Help us to expect. Start with us. And if not us, then who? And if not now, then when? We want you now. And you want you to start in us. We're praying for a miracle today in Jesus' name and trusting you for what you're going to do with each life that they are experiencing this year. May you use this as a milepost in their lives. May you truly, truly seal the deal. I pray this in Jesus' name. Look up this way. If you are praying, maybe in a sense of that, I would ask you to somehow mark today's decision. You see what I'm saying? Mark it. You can do it verbally with somebody. You can write it on a piece of paper with today's date, whatever today's date is. But make that note. And when the enemy comes and tells you what you did is not true, and when the temptation is to go back wherever it was you were, you just simply say, enough is enough. I know what I did, and I know that the Spirit is able. I will not entertain those thoughts. I will not entertain that attitude. I will not entertain that sin. I will not entertain that attitude. I am free because of the power of the Spirit of Jesus. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. You follow me? Enough is enough. Draw your line in the sand, amen? Allow God to do what He's supposed to do in your life and allow it today. That's what I do every day. Some days I'm not so good at it, but I will keep on doing that, and it makes a difference for all of us, amen? So I'm going to ask you to arise in faith, knowing that God has heard your prayer. And as you head back to your seats, we're going to close our service by worshiping the Lord in song, but also worshiping the Lord by giving of His tithes and offerings. Michaela, would you lead us?